Gonzalez. Thank you so much for being with us, Juan.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and good evening to both of you, Bob and Wally.
Well, it's really our pleasure to have you here, and it's so nice to have you back on the air to hear your voice again. I think our listeners are pretty well tuned into to some of the background, but do you want to briefly talk about what's happened recently and why we now have you on, why we're able to have you on?
Well, I think obviously the most critical event that happened was the recent meeting in New York City of the new Interim Pacifica Board, which emerged out of the settlement of various lawsuits and a boycott against the Pacifica Network by listeners around the country who wanted to see basic reforms in the way the network was governed and also in terms of accountability to the listeners. And as a result of that, a new board was installed in late December and had its first face-to-face meeting this past weekend. And it was involved in pretty dramatic changes. It had already decided to lift a gag rule that prevented any kind of discussion of some of the pressing issues affecting Pacifica on the air. It also restored close to 30 programmers who had been banned or fired from the New York affiliate WBAI, and also fired the former station manager there, Bob Daughtry, who had been involved in some of these purgings of staff for no cause and without any kind of due process. So it reversed all of those firings and ordered everyone restored who had been fired in the last about 14 months at BAI. The board also restored another fired producer, Larry Bensky, who had been a longtime national reporter for Pacifica at the KPFA station in Berkeley. And it also sought to try to deal with the situation in Houston. It accepted the resignation or noted the resignation of Garland Ganter, the station manager there in your city, as well as attempted to try to bring some sort of resolution of a conflict between the local advisory board in Houston, which has not been meeting regularly or doesn't even have the required number of members that it should have pursuant to the regulations of the Coalition for Public Broadcasting, and it urged an attempt by that old advisory board and a new interim board that arose out of listeners who were trying to reform KPFT. It's urged them to have talks and try to merge the two into one over the next few weeks. And in addition, the board fired a high-priced Washington law firm, Williams & Connolly, that had been used by the previous board and was milking the network dry with legal bills, which I'd like to talk about a little later on. But basically, it fired that firm. This is the same firm. Greg Craig, the lawyer for this firm, is the same lawyer who defended Bill Clinton in his impeachment trial in the Senate, and also who represented the family of Elian Gonzalez in the infamous case in Florida, one of the most high-powered law firms in Washington. And Pacifica, a nonprofit foundation, was using this very expensive law firm to fight off the movement to reform the network's governance.
Now, one of the crucial elements, obviously, is the composition of this new board. The old board basically, you know, reeked of cronyism, and you had people in there who had no concept of the Pacifica mission. How's this new board going to be composed?
Well, this new board is actually composed overwhelmingly of reform-minded people who have at least a connection to or an understanding of the progressive movements in the United States. And from Houston, for instance, you have George Barnstone, who was actually named by the old local advisory board that had so many problems, but George Barnstone voted with the reform majority throughout the weekend, as did Teresa Allen, who was named to the board by the reform movement. So there were two Houston representatives who acquitted themselves very well throughout the weekend, and And even on the side of the minority now on the board who used to run the board previously, there is at least, for instance, Dick Gregory, well-known, civil rights activist and comedian who did not attend this weekend's board meeting, but who has already, voted, against his own group on some key issues. And, the most difficult members of the board were, the former mayor of Washington D.C., Marion Barry, who played, I would say not a very progressive role, in the debate over the weekend and sought to stop all kinds of reform, efforts. But other than that, I'd say over two-thirds of the board, of the current new interim board, are people who really want to move Pacifica forward in a direction, back to its mission, but also further ahead in terms of listener accountability to the listeners, and democracy, and autonomy of the different stations within the network.
And those are important points, and I think they speak to the question of how we got here. I mean, what kind of problems led to activists in the five constituent cities organizing against Pacifica? And I think you kind of hit it on the head, this democracy and listener input. I mean, what do you see the mission now of this new board?
Well, as per the agreement that was reached, this new board will not only rewrite the Pacifica bylaws to make them more responsive to local stations, because one of the things that had been happening over the last few years is that Pacifica, the stations really arose as autonomous groups who were part of a network, but basically the national office responded to the needs of each individual station as well as to the local advisory boards. But over time, this group that hijacked control of the board sought to centralize everything in the national office in Washington, D.C. They increasingly took larger chunks of the overall income of the network. They increasingly centralized finances dictated from above to the local stations, eliminated any involvement in oversight by the local advisory boards of the stations, and basically followed your normal corporate model in America today: centralized power dictates everyone, and what we say goes. So part of this battle was to restore autonomy to the separate stations so they could manage their own finances and set their own priorities. And within those stations, have the station staffs and management responsive to the listeners by having more advisory boards that have more influence. And even now, all the local advisory boards within a year will actually be elected by the listeners. There will actually be an election process established where anyone who is a listener sponsor to KPFT or any of the other Pacifica stations will also be able to vote on the members of the local advisory board, who will have much more influence at the station. So really it is an attempt to have the each of the stations be more responsive to the grassroots, to the listeners, to the communities that they are supposed to be serving.
Lab meetings here in Houston resemble the kind of stall in the show trial, so it'll certainly be a welcome change, I know, for those of us in the KPFT area.
But you know, one thing I should mention, one of the things that the new board, which also selected an interim executive director, Dan Coughlin, one of the things that the board discovered and is discovering, as apparently Dan Coughlin and a group of auditors from the reform movement went into the national office just yesterday, and they are not only now looking over the books, and I have to tell you what the information I've gotten from sources that are familiar with their review of these books is that there is an astounding debt that was accumulated at Pacifica over the last year by this outgoing group that has now left, and on their way out the door, they virtually looted the network. And I just want to run down to you some figures to give people an idea of what kind of where Pacifica has been spending its money last year before the reform movement managed to oust these people. The law firm of Williams and Connolly, the one I just talked to you about, Greg Craig, which was billing Pacifica at the rate of $475 an hour, is owed an unpaid bills. This is not the money that they were already paid, $482,000. The law firm of Epstein, Becker, and Green, an anti-union law firm, which was the one that one of the Pacifica board members was a part of, John Murdoch, is owed $410,000. A labor law firm out of Los Angeles, a Drapkin firm, which handled all of Pacifica's labor problems, and it had quite a few of them, is owed $260,000. Another law firm that represented Pacifica on FCC matters is owed $94,000. Another law firm that they hired for other matters is owed $160,000. These are unpaid bills that these people racked up over the last year. A public relations firm, West Hill Partners, a high-powered public relations firm, which was hired just in July of last year, ran up bills of over $300,000. We're talking about $1.3 million that the Pacifica Foundation owes all of these law firms and PR firms as a result of what was this. These are your money, the listeners' money, that was being wasted instead of going toward programming or toward staff needs or toward equipment, was going to pay high-priced lawyers. But then the real scandal is that apparently the former national executive director, Bessie Wash, was signed all kinds of lucrative severance agreements with anyone in management and even further down who would back her. So, for instance, your former station manager, Garland Ganter, walked away with 9 months severance pay from Pacifica when he resigned last week. 9 months pay.
Do you know how much that is?
What?
Do you know what the number on that is? We can never get information like that down here on what he was paid.
Well, he was his salary was $69,000 a year.
Okay, thank you.
And he was, but he got 9 months severance,
sure.
nine months insurance, COBRA payments, the national program director of Pacifica, Steve Yasko, who had only worked at the network for 1 year before he was forced out because he was found to have been running some internet porn site. He was given 5 months severance. He'd only worked for a year. He was given 5 months severance. Utrice Lead, and he was making $71,000 a year. Utrice Lead, who was making $65,000 a year, the station manager in New York, who was only a station manager for 1 year, got nine severance. In Houston alone, six former employees were given severance packages on their way out the door. It's altogether about 20 people at Pacifica in the last year were granted these very lucrative severance packages by this bankrupt group of managers that have been running the network, and they basically ran it into the ground. And some of them were even offered laptop computers as part of their severance package on the way out the door. This is a non-profit corporation that has been looted, and now those of us in the reform movement who have managed to wrest control of it have to figure out now how to be able to pick up the pieces and make sure that these stations stay on the air, that all of the staffs who remain there get, the ones who are not volunteers, the ones who are on staff get paid, and that the telephone bills and the utilities and everything else continue to be, taken care of. It's a very bad situation, close to $4 million in debt, at least we've got them out of there, because they were ripping off the cookie jar, and now at least they no longer have access to the cookie jar.
Well, this is the first time we've heard these numbers, because for years they've simply, you know, as you know, refused to turn over the books. We had no idea what anyone was making. As you know, Garland Ganter's wife was also employed, so they had, you know, this kind of family income, kind of a fiefdom here, so.
Right, well, I know Mary Ramirez got a severance package, and I'm told four other employees. We don't know who the others are yet. I didn't even know you had that many paid employees at KPMG.
I'm not sure we knew that either.
interestingly, one of the most fascinating things I learned was that Bessie Wash, the executive director who was forced out in September, who basically signed off on most of these severance packages, she actually needed to hire a financial controller back in August. And in her offer letter to this financial controller, not only did she offer her salary, in the hiring letter, there was an offer of a severance package in case Bessie got fired. So that at the very moment she was being hired, she was being told, and in case I'm no longer here, this is what you're going to get as a bonus for coming to work for Pacifica. So this is the nonsense that was going on. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to, this is what I've heard from sources. I don't know how much of this the Pacifica Foundation will be able to actually make the actual contracts or the letters public. But if we can get a hold of them, we'll post all of them on our website so that people can see the actual documents themselves and see who was responsible for the financial mess that this network is in.
Well, there's obviously, reason for euphoria to see this change, but it's also very sobering to have that kind of debt. So how does this new group go about, reconciling this? Are their hands tied so that it's going to be this, long-term process, or what can we do?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to have to be figured out in this, I'm sure that the lawyers and the accountants that are now reviewing these books for the first time are going to be able to figure out is how much of this was legal. And is it possible to go ask some of these people personally, especially Bessie Walsh, for basically running the foundation into the ground, and how much of this, of these severance packages actually have to be paid, or how many of them have actually already been paid? It's not clear. Because some of these packages were actually offered, some of the station managers made these offers last March by Bessie Walsh, and it's been like a stand offer. Whenever you leave, this is what you get. And I guess Garland decided that he better leave before the board meeting in case the board decided somehow to cancel his offers. Now I understand why he resigned before the board meeting, not afterwards. But I understand that there is one station manager over in Los Angeles, Mark Shubb, who's still insisting he's owed on 9 months severance, 24 weeks vacation, 9 months COBRA, a laptop computer, additional accrued vacation. This guy's only worked at Pacifica for 6 years. I mean, now, I've worked in corporate America for in major for-profit companies for years, and your average severance, if you're lucky at a company, is 2 weeks for every year worked. If they decide to sweeten it because they're trying to get older workers to retire, they might give you a little more. But the idea that you would get like 9 months pay for 5 years work is like astounding. But this is the kind of stuff that was going on. And I'm talking about for-profit companies that actually had the money to make these kinds of offers, not a non-profit like Pacifica that's always struggling.
Another area down here where we've had problems is, as you know, Garland Gantner here created essentially a music station. The theory behind that, or the argument behind that, was that the amount of money coming in, the pledges were great, and the ratings were always up, but no one would ever turn over any information on arbitrage or anything like that. Have you had any access to anything like that, or?
Not yet, but I'm sure that one of the things that the Pacifica board said, that all of this information that the board the new board wants transparency in all the, whether it's financial information, whether it's ratings, whether, as much as possible, that the listeners have a right to know. They're the ones who contribute 80-85% of the funds of the network, and they have a right to know how their money is being spent. I think that, I have confidence that the new board, is sincere about this and will be, demanding the most open possible, situation in terms of reporting to the staffs as well as to the listeners.
Now, we all believe in local control and democratization, but what level of, let's say, influence do you think the national board is willing to exercise over issues like programming, the composition of the station? I mean, essentially, how are they going to facilitate this return to the Pacifica mission, where we have, issues like affair shows and shows which talk about politics and not simply honky tonk music all day?
Yeah, well, I think that my sense is that that's a major commitment of the board. But again, they've only been in office now less than a month. They need to get key staff positions placed right there at Houston. You're going to have to get a permanent station manager, as well as several other positions that are. And I think it's going to take a little while. It's going to take at least a few months for everything to shake itself out. But I think that my sense is that there's a real commitment, because there were two stations in the network that really went in the direction of more and more music. That's the Washington DC station, WPFW, and Houston. The other stations have stayed primarily still more oriented toward talk and politics and news. Both the Washington station and the Houston station had increased listenership because, hey, there's still a lot of people in America who'd rather listen to music than face the problems we have in the society. But that doesn't mean that because that's a reality, you then just move in that direction, and you don't, you go away from the mission of Pacifica. That's not to say that music is not important. It's a very important part of the cultural life of any community. If the cutting edge of the Pacifica stations are not the news, the analysis, the political discussion and debate of what's going on, then the mission has really been lost.
And now earlier you mentioned there's a new executive director as well, Dan Coughlin, and this is another sea change. You want to tell us a little bit about Dan's background and what we can expect out of him?
Well, Dan actually was one of the main day-to-day coordinators of the Pacifica campaign of the boycott for the last year, and before that he was the he had been the national news director of Pacifica, in charge of PNN News, and in fact he was forced out of that position and demoted by the old board because he dared to air a news report about a boycott, a one-day boycott that the affiliate stations of Pacifica, or about 50 or 60 community radio stations around the country that take Pacifica programming. They were upset, just as the listeners were, about directing to Pacifica. So one day a few years ago, all of these affiliates had a one-day boycott of Pacifica programming, and Dan said that's news and national news. And for doing that, he was summarily moved from his post as national news director. So he does have that background. He's familiar with the national operation of Pacifica since he worked there for a couple of years. He also was a producer of Democracy Now! Several years ago, I guess about three or four, maybe 4 years ago. And he was the producer with of the show back then. So he's got familiarity with the programming. He's a journalist, but he's also part of the reform movement, an integral part of the reform movement, and well respected by activists in all of the stations. And I think, but again, he's only an interim director because the new board appointed him for a 60-day period because they felt that they wanted to conduct a very well-organized national search for a new full-time executive director, and they wanted to advertise it, have people come in and be interviewed, and go through a legitimate process in hiring, something that Pacifica has not had for quite a while, so that they felt, however, that since the executive director who the interim had just resigned the week before then at the board meeting, a few days before the board meeting, that needed somebody in charge temporarily for the next couple of months while they conduct a search for a permanent director.
I think last Monday I got a bunch of calls and emails saying, Amy's back on. So, it's great to have Democracy Now, back on too. I mean, has that kind of sunk now, or ready to kind of get back to the old days, or?
Yes. I've been on, this week as well, yeah, a couple of times, and it's been great to be back, because it's such a terrific show and it has such a low following around the country. But you know that even though KPFT wasn't listening to Amy and show for the last I guess about 5 months. It has been heard all around the country because more than 50 community radio stations continue to play Democracy Now, as did KFA in Berkeley, the only Pacifica station that rebelled against the old national board. It continued to play the show despite the ban on the show by the rest of the network. And also the show is being aired on television on numerous public access cable systems, as well as on the Dish Network. If anyone has, Dish satellite cable, they can also pick up Democracy Now every day on the Dish Network, although it's like a day later. Democracy Now has actually, during this period that it was banned from Houston and New York and Washington and Los Angeles, was actually picking up more and more listeners and viewers. So now that, of course, it's back in the big cities again, the influence of the show is once again is on the rise.
That's wonderful. This is KPFT in Houston, the Progressive Forum, and our guest tonight is Juan Gonzalez, the co-host of Democracy Now! And the head of the Pacifica campaign. Just want to ask you a couple more questions. First is the big one. I mean, we can't rest our laurels. What's the next step now in this struggle for democratization and listener influence?
Well, I think, and we're actually in the campaign are meeting on this Thursday to do now about the listener boycott that we've been organizing for the last year. I individually feel that we should end the boycott, and that we need to do now the opposite. Instead of cutting off funds to Pacifica, it's crucial now to begin raising as much money as we can and getting as many people to become list sponsors as possible. However, until we meet on Thursday at Pacifica campaign, a week from tonight, we don't have an official position yet, because there are some sections of the movement, like in Los Angeles and in Washington D.C., who still have the same old station managers and the same dictatorial management in place that existed before all these changes. And they're saying, hey, you know, over in New York you might have gotten some changes, and over in Houston you might have gotten rid of Garland and company, and in Berkeley things made great, but here in LA and Washington we don't see any changes on the air. So there's some sort of still discussion and debate as to whether the boycott should be called off completely or just at some stations, and we'll try to sort all that out in the next week and reach a consensus among the activists as to what should be done. But there's no doubt that very soon we're going to have to raise a lot of money to keep Pacifica on air. And also, that's one thing, stable the finances of the network. The other thing we have to do is we have to begin a period of reconciliation among the staffs, because this conflict was an enormous emotional toll on people, and at almost all the stations the staffs became divided, because between those who were on one side and those who were on the other. And now that the changes have occurred, it's very important for a healing process to begin, for people to recognize that even though they have disagreed on the direction or what to do, you can't keep fighting. It's like, you know, after the Civil War, you know, you can't keep fighting the old war. You gotta, like, you have to now look to the future, and we're hopeful that in the reform movement there'll be no attempts to get revenge or to mistreat staff or paid or unpaid who were on one side or the other, that everyone will be treated fairly under the new administration. And then the final thing is that we have to move forward on the whole democratization of the network, which means we have to have elected advisory board. We have to have a process for those elections for people who want. In essence, what it will become is it'll become a process where people register to vote, and the way you register to vote is by becoming a listener sponsor, and then people run for office. And so there will have to be campaigns for the local advisory boards, and people will have to put forth their programs on how how they think KPFT or the other stations need to be changed, and need to, how the programming needs to be changed, how the station's mission needs to be moved forward. And out of hopefully a healthy debate where all of the viewpoints are heard, listeners will choose who they want to sit on their local advisory boards, and those boards will have much more input than they've ever had before on the choosing of station managers, and on the programming and the various other things that go into making up a community radio station.
I can't tell you how liberating it is to have this conversation with you after all this time. I know Hep Ingham, who's done so much locally, is here with me.
Yes, Hep was wonderful throughout all.
And he's got a big smile on his face, and we still can't believe it. One final question. Dennis Moynihan said that you need to tell us why you're called the Godfather.
because I'm the only one that tells Dennis that he's gone too far sometimes. Dennis is a wonderful guy, and he's done enormous. He's very creative in his tactics, but sometimes even he doesn't know when to stop going after an evildoer. And I'm the opinion that once an evildoer is no longer with Pacifica, that we should leave him alone. And Dennis wants to like hound them till the day they die.
Dennis mentioned he had a dossier on Coughlin. Do you know what that means?
That means that Dan better be careful.
Well, we're going to just start calling Dennis Fredo, so we'll take care of him that way. Juan Gonzalez, also let me put in one last plug. As a historian, I also want to mention that you've written a wonderful book on Latin immigration, the United States Harvest of Empire, and I really appreciate that as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And my best to all the people in Houston, and now you've got the hard task of rebuilding your station and expanding its influence so that the progressive movement in Texas begins to grow. I know that there in Houston, with all this Enron stuff, you all are like in the middle of the most important scandal in America right now, and I'm sure that that KPFT will soon be breaking big stories on that and many other important issues.
Thank you so much, Juan Gonzalez, and we hope to hear from you again.
Okay.
Keep up the great work.
Good. So long.